Hey, Mabel Louise, how are you today?
Good morning.
Yes.
And you know what? We have a pumpkin patch in my meadow. Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's nice.
Some
Who put
of them
that
are
in?
Where we threw the seeds.
Oh, okay.
But Terry did plant some
he did
seeds
plant
there
some
one
too.
Year.
Yeah.
And the children went out and picked them and brought them in. They're all over at the doorstep of Terry's.
Okay.
And you know what? They're Fine. Small this year.
Oh, are they?
Ours
smaller.
Are small.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But that's okay. It's a pumpkin.
Yeah.
And good morning to you out there. Isn't it nice? Another warm day. Thank you, Jesus. And you know what? Those old cold days are coming so fast, and they last so long, don't they? But we can be thankful for every day. Isn't that what Philippians tells us? In everything, give thanks. Yes. And it's always a good day if you can get up and you can walk. I was reading prayer letters this morning. And guess what? One gentleman wrote and asked for prayer because he was unable to walk, bless his heart. And I did pray for him. And guess what? Every Tuesday, the staff meets in the boardroom and they take your prayer requests and pray over them. Each staff member takes a stack of them and prays over them. And then as a group, they pray for all of them. So keep the prayer letters coming. We so appreciate that you trust us to pray for you. We're one big family, aren't we? And by the way, after all, we are together and we need to love one another. My goodness, with all that's going on in our world today, how important it is to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, and loving one another. Well, let me give you my verse for the day. It's found over in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. It's a good one. And if you are a little bit discouraged today, this ought to be a good one for you. And if you don't remember all of it after I read it to you, go home tonight and read it in your Bible and mark it. Here's what it says, verse 10 of chapter 41, Isaiah. It's a good one because it tells us to fear thou not. Oh, my goodness, we're even fearful to go to the grocery store anymore. But that's okay. Guess what? The Lord goes with you. That's what it says right here. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Wow, that verse is literally filled with promises. And guess what? The Lord never, never, never breaks a promise. Isn't that good? Oh my goodness, we can take that with us all day. He's with us. He will strengthen us. He will help us. And he will uphold us. All of those promises in one single verse. Okay, now today, I've been listening, and if you've been listening to my broadcast, and I hope you have, you would know that the Holy Spirit has impressed upon my heart the need to urge parents to connect with their children, not only in enjoying each other's company and being together, but especially taking time to train. And I'm sure that you've noticed that our present-day culture is centered on me, 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 I. As individuals, and not especially on the togetherness of the family. Years ago, there was not all of those attractions that cause every individual to go their separate ways. I didn't, when I was a child, living on the farm with my family, we all worked together. We didn't have time to have all the gadgets and to zap up our time. When we got up in the morning, and if we didn't go to school, we were working together to help with all the chores on the farm. And by the way, farmers' work never ends from morning to night. And now with all the gadgets at the disposal, every individual seems to be going their own way. How I notice that when I go to the doctor or to the dentist or to the beauty parlor or wherever, people have their fingers and their noses into their iPads, working on them, not visiting with each other. So there's very, very little time for connect. So we all miss that, don't we? And I use that word connect because that word means to be in touch with one another. Webster's Dictionary says to connect means to join together. I like that. And in Bible times, family lived as clans. They all lived together. They worked together, and they learned lessons of life together. So I want to bring to your attention again the instructions that the Lord gave to Moses to give to all of the Israelite families. Now, this was what the Lord said to, for them to know. And that's found over in Deuteronomy 6. And the Lord makes it very clear how parents were to instruct their children in a together way. Let me read it to you and you'll see. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day, now note, it's a command, and put them in your heart, and thou shalt, now here's where I'm coming from, thou shalt teach them diligently. That means work at it unto your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way together, when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. In other words, don't forget. Tie a string around your finger, but the Lord uses a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. So he certainly is saying, please don't forget. And he goes on and says, thou shalt write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates. Wow. And you know what? That message was repeated by Moses to the people further on in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 11. And at the end of that repeat of the verse, he adds this, that if you do these things, you will have a little bit of heaven on earth. Wow. You know why he wrote the heaven on earth? Because if you teach your children the word of God and you're together as a family, worshiping the Lord, doing good and serving others and loving each other, it takes away the stress. And that's why it feels like heaven on earth. Makes sense, doesn't it? So if you're a parent or a grandparent and you're listening to me right now, I'm sure you're saying, but Mabel Louise, let's face it, these are not the days of Moses. reality is, in all of our lives, everyone is too busy, too heavily scheduled. So, as they did in Bible times, children are in school all day and parents are at work. I understand where you're coming from, but the challenge is, and that's what I'm trying to do, is challenge you. Parents must take time to train their children, or guess what? If you don't, you pay the price in the life of that child and even to next generations. And that's what's happened to our culture today. God's word never changes. It is truth. And the truth is that children have to be taught the word of God if they're going to put into practice God's standards. And parents are unable to teach these standards unless they live by them. So I guess what I'm trying to say is parents need to buckle up and get busy. Check out their own lives and teach their children to live for the Lord. Spend time together. It's absolutely amazing how fast children grow up and leave the nest. And it's urgent, too, as the old adage says, make time while the sun shines, or live it up while you can. And I've said all this to lead to a wonderful example of teenagers who were well-trained, and they stood for the Lord under terrible circumstances. Yes, that's Daniel and Daniel's friends. Four young men having to face lots of bad circumstances. And in order to share the story of Daniel and his friends, I need to tell a little bit of history and why Daniel was captured and taken to Babylonia. In 1605, King Nebuchadnezzar, here comes the history lesson. He was king of Babylonia, and he fought and he captured Jerusalem and all of the area surrounding. Actually, they became a new world power. And Nebuchadnezzar was not content with having all the world power he wanted. He also reached out to find able young men to come to Babylon as prospective government personnel. He forced each captured city to give him the finest of men. And among those from Jerusalem were Daniel and his three friends, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, all four boys. He had specific instructions in selecting these teenagers. First, they were to be ages between 13 and 15. Now think about it. Here were these teenagers captured at those ages. Secondly, they were to be without defect. In other words, no physical or mental handicap. Thirdly, they were to be handsome. Fourthly, they had to manifest intelligence in every branch of wisdom and to be endowed with understanding and having discerning knowledge. Wow, all of those requirements. I'm not through yet. Fifth, they had to possess the ability for serving in the king's court. And then lastly, they were to be put through 3 years of training. In other words, these teenagers were subjected to a curriculum that was deep in Babylonian philosophy, religion, magic, astrology, science, medicine, just to name a few of the subjects. And I learned as I was doing my research that Abraham went to school as a young boy in his hometown of Ur. Oh my goodness, I'm out of time already. Let me continue on with this on my next broadcast. I think you'll be fascinated to what the archaeologists found in Abraham's hometown. So, God bless you, and you have a good day. Bye-bye.